Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. A new culinary arts center has opened at Columbus State Community College in an 80,000 square foot building that will include a culinary theater, teaching kitchens, and also will house a restaurant and bakery cafe. But Mitchell Hall, that's named for the lead donor and restaurant mogul Cameron Mitchell, is more than just a wannabe chef's dream. It reflects a growing interest in the culinary trades as a profession. Spencer Hoffman is a graduate instructor at the Les Chenaux Culinary School in Hessel in the eastern Upper Peninsula of Michigan. He joins us. Welcome, Spencer. Spencer, are you there?
Hey, Ann.
Hi. Welcome, Spencer. Yeah. And also Chef James Taylor. He's the department chair for hospitality programs at Columbus State Community College. He's a member of the board of the American Culinary Federation Columbus chapter. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. Glad to be here.
This is a pretty exciting time, huh?
Yes, it is. 30 years I've been waiting.
30 years. What's the big shift? It's from what to what are we talking about here at Columbus State?
Well, we've been expanding our programs and offerings in the hospitality industry. So we have like five majors, and we're adding a couple of more. And we've been in basically a basement in a 40-year-old building. And so we offer lots of different things. And we've been looking at a building for some time, and to be able to expand not only what we do, but how we can interact with the community. It's more than just a building. It's about how we bring the community in, and we work with the community, and we work with our social partners and our business partners.
That's really true of Les Chenaux Culinary School, Spencer Hoffman. You're right there in the community with a restaurant that's open during the summer and special events throughout the year. But you also have a lot of news at Les Chenaux Culinary School. You're affiliating with a local institution as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. So the culinary school, the Les Chenaux School, has been around for 5 years. And now we just announced a partnership with Lake Superior State University, just up there in Sault Ste. Marie.
What's the significance of doing something like that, Spencer?
Well, it gives us a little more financial stability. It, you know, improves our recruiting and marketing. You know, we look to expand, getting a bigger class size. So,
yeah. And then that idea of being in the community, they've had a restaurant going as long as they've been open, Chef Taylor. And I'm wondering, why is that important?
Well, it's important because to have that community connection, it's also important so the students get the reality of it.
Yeah.
We do our best to create reality every day, but unless the students are actually working in it, it's not quite the same.
Not the same pressure as someone saying, too much salt.
Exactly.
It's one thing when it's your teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Although we sometimes see that, find out that students listen to others more than they listen to us, just like children with their parents.
Right. Yeah. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. As my guest, Chef James Taylor of the Columbus State Community College Hospitality Programs Department, said they've had a programs for going on 30 years, but now they have opened a new culinary arts center, an 80,000 square foot building that will include a culinary theater, teaching kitchens, and a restaurant that'll be open to the public, and a bakery cafe as well. It's called Mitchell Hall. It's named for the lead donor and restaurant mogul here, Cameron Mitchell, but it's more, as I've said earlier, than just a wannabe chef's dream. It reflects a growing interest in the culinary trades as a profession. Also with us from up there in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Spencer Hoffman. He's a graduate instructor at the Les Chenaux Culinary School in Hessel, Michigan. If you have a question or comment, what do you think about the growing interest in culinary education? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, James Taylor, where is the demand coming from? This is a big, big expansion for you.
Well, Columbus, as you know, has just turned into, for the last many years, huge food city.
From a steak and potatoes town to
exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's high demand. And to use a bad pun, the industry is starving for or hungry for not only just culinarians, but for people in the hospitality industry. 25% of the country's, of the nation's workforce is in the hospitality industry in some shape or another. So it's not just locally, but all over. I think that's one of the reasons why we have the rise in culinary schools. Now, we've had some drops in that as well, mm-hmm. with some schools leaving the scene. But the demand is there. But the demand is also to produce a good product, you know. We tell students all the time, we can give it to you, but you, it has to be you. Schools are important, but it's you as an individual that's going to make it work for you and for your future.
You know, when I tell people about Lachino Culinary School, Spencer Hoffman, and they say, how in the world, what in the world is a culinary school doing way up in the Upper Peninsula? And what is the concept up there? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so our school, well, it's centered in around the idea. Our community, it's small, and we get a lot of big, tourists that come in the summer. We actually do get a lot of people from Columbus, Cincinnati, a lot from Ohio that are trying to escape, you know, some of the heat down there. So we have, the Lachino Islands, this nice archipelago of islands and, summer visitors that wanted to have a nice place to eat rather than your standard deep fried and all that. So that's kind of where the idea came from, is creating a nice restaurant. And then it followed with, how are we going to staff it? How are we going to keep, a business going for the remainder of the year? So that's where it kind of went hand in hand with starting up the culinary school.
It's that demand for great food. I love a good perch basket, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. There'll always be room in my calendar for that. But, yeah, getting some really fine food. People are getting pickier, James Taylor?
Oh, I think so. They want variety, but more importantly, they want different. They're not prepared for the standard. So anything you can do to change the norm, all the restaurants, and I say this a lot, we're all serving the same type of food as far as what we serve. It's how we serve it and how we prepare it and how we make it come to life and put the passion into it that makes one place different from another. And it keeps it, when you do have a captive audience, and even though, like he said, he has a lot of tourists, he still has a community that's captive. So I'm sure he's keeping his menu, changing the variety as often as possible.
Yeah, I read, Spencer, it's whatever's coming in the door from the farmers that day.
Oh, yeah. And that's a plus with us. We hit on, the farm to table trend is very alive today. And we have, community of growers, and whether they're giving us, a little bit or they're more serious farmers, we like to work with the local producers.
The public's demanding that too. They've gotten so much more. They're really into what they're doing. So they're looking to for slow foods. They're looking for to bring in the farmers. They're very educated, and so they're helping to drive that demand of what Spencer's talking about.
Do you have to go to school to learn it?
No.
That's the ultimate question a lot of people ask.
Yeah, right. I would say you don't. There are obviously reasons to do it. Sitting in education, I should probably say the opposite, but I don't think that's not true. The important thing is to take whatever you're learning. And then in the old days, people learned by moving around. I'm up in years. So you worked for a place a year, year and a half, two years, and that's how everybody learned. And you took that learning and you took it to the next place and you developed. But at some point, depending on which way you want to go, if you're going to go in the corporate world especially, then you're going to need some schooling.
Spencer Hoffman, one of the interesting things about the school, now it is small and you're going to grow your student body there and it's going to be a little bit different because of that, but it's been pretty small. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like 12 or 15 students a year?
We've averaged between 8 to 10
okay.
A year.
I'm over it. But you attract people from all different walks of life, I've noticed.
Yeah, we have, a wide variety of students in age. So we do hit that, 18 to 24, but we've had some that have had, after retirement wanted mm-hmm. to come in and learn. And we've had some that have looked, maybe as a second career. So we've had a wide range of ages attend the school.
Yeah. And do you get more traditional 18 to 24, James Taylor, in your student body? Is it community college?
We do. We didn't used to. But we are getting a lot more traditional students, and we still have our non-traditional, but we're now probably 60% traditional.
I've read a lot of criticisms of the super classic culinary schools, and coming up we'll be hearing from the Institute of Culinary Education in New York about this, and we'll talk about it with them as well, but that everything starts with the French sauces. It's very classical, you know, and that's where you're going to get, that's kind of the root of culinary education in the United States. How do you translate that at Columbus State?
Well,
is it a class or is it a whole curriculum?
It's a class.
Okay.
It's actually part of a larger lab. Okay. So every trade or every business has infrastructure that you got to build first. And learning those things, learning the classic sauces or the classic knife cuts are the infrastructure to once you learn that, then you can go on. Then you can start experimenting. Then you can start changing the sauces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Escoffier has a lot of sauces that are all based on those mother sauces. But people every day, and I'm sure our other guest is doing the same thing, we're taking those and we're changing them or we're doing twists with them.
But you have to know the rules, right, Spencer, before you can break them.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, so when you go to culinary school, you know, a brumoise is a brumoise no matter what kitchen you're going to, or a julienne, and those, are all, you know, classical French, you know, methods.
Mm-hmm. You have to speak a common language, though, right?
Exactly.
If you're going to go and move to different restaurants, there has to be some kind of commonality.
It has to happen that way, and definitions are important. You know, when you talk classically, you've either done it or you haven't done it, just like in music. There's no gray. It's black or it's white. It's later in a person's career when they start making those changes and then taking what they've learned classically and then adding their passion to it to change the music and make it sing for whomever.
You know, a lot of people have an image of cooking school and what it's like, that it's really hard. It's obviously very subjective in some people's minds. Well, you don't like how I scrambled that egg. Well, you know, how many times ways can you scramble an egg? What's it like, Spencer Hoffman? What's the vibe up there in your teaching school? Is it, everyone seems pretty happy most of the time when I've been up there. Spencer?
Pardon, Ann. I missed the question. What was the question?
Yeah. But just kind of what the vibe is, because a lot of people have a certain kind of image of a cooking school. It's, I guess maybe a lot of people get it from the movies. You know, it's very strict and very orderly and very stressful.
Yeah. Well, I think there's like the connotation at a restaurant being, you know, very hard lined and, you know, chefs are screaming. And
yeah,
that's not so much the case here. But we also got to keep in mind when we're an educational facility too, so we try and be open minded and just be constructive as much as possible. Us too, we're a little different because our school is in the Upper Peninsula. We're in a smaller, remote community,
mm-hmm.
So I think it changes the scene a little bit.
A little more family like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We find that students, you know, some students, you show them something, how to scramble the egg properly,
yeah,
and then they get that into their head, which is important. We want them to do that. But then it's hard for them to get anything else in. Or we find the ones that, that's not what I want to learn. I want to learn this. They don't want to learn the basics first. Or when they go to work, their chef does it a different way. And we always tell them, it depends on where you are and how you do it. And one day you'll be able to do it the way you want to do it.
One day you'll be the boss.
Yeah, really.
That is Chef James Taylor. He is chair of the Department of Hospitality Programs at Columbus State Community College. He's a member of the Board of American Culinary Federation, the American Culinary Federation Columbus Chapter. Also with us, Spencer Hoffman. He's graduate instructor at the Lachino Culinary School in Hessel, Michigan, in the upper peninsula of Hessel, of Michigan. Coming up, we're going to hear from the Institute of Culinary Education in New York. So stay with us. And if you have thoughts, if you've thought about going into a culinary school, this is a good time to call in if you have any questions about it. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. The new Culinary Arts Center, Mitchell Hall, has opened at Columbus State Community College this semester. It's an 80,000-square-foot nod to the growing interest in culinary careers. Still with us is graduate instructor at the Lational Culinary School in the eastern Upper Peninsula town of Hessel, Michigan, Spencer Hoffman. Also with us, department chair for hospitality programs at Columbus State Community College and a member of the board of the American Culinary Federation Columbus chapter, Chef James Taylor. And Steve Zagor is the lead instructor of restaurant and culinary management at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York. Steve, did I pronounce your last name right? Okay. Sorry, he's not there yet. There has been a big one of the biggest changes, James Taylor, in Columbus, as I mentioned earlier in the program, is it was a real meat and potatoes town 30 years ago. And now there's not only a variety of new cuisines, but there's just ethnically a lot of different kinds of cuisine. And I'm wondering how you incorporate that, or how that's reflected in a 21st century culinary school curriculum.
Well, we do have international cuisine classes, and we're going to be beefing those up with some local chefs with the various types of new cuisines that have been coming to Columbus area, and we're going to have a chef in residence program. Where we bring somebody from the outside in to work with the students and probably produce a featured item in our restaurant, as well as teach a class. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the ways that we're going to continue to do it, to beef that up, and to use a bad pun. And, but along with all the different, vegetarian options, religious, ethnic.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Steve Zagor, are you with us?
Here, how are you, Ann?
Good, thank you. You're a lead instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York. What do you make of the increased interest in culinary education?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure that there is a huge increase in culinary education. I have to say, I mean, from what we're seeing, I mean, it has kind of sort of plateaued. I mean, for formal culinary education, I think everybody really wants to learn how to cook in some form. They want to be the best cook at their house. They want to be the best cook at the holidays and such. But formal culinary education, I think, has dropped over the last few years, and you can kind of see that with the folding a lot of the national culinary schools around the country that have kind of folded, and leaving more regional cooking schools like the folks that are here with me on the phone and other areas.
Okay, so why do you think that is, that there's...
I think the reason why is that because people don't really understand how valuable a culinary education is. They think, you know what, I can go to the local bistro, I can go to the local restaurant, and I'll get a job, and it's not going to cost me a huge amount of money, and I'll learn from somebody that I know and I love their food. And unfortunately, what you're getting is you're getting someone's way of cooking that they've learned, and they may not know the best way, they may not know the right way, and they may not even know what they don't know. So you're focused on something that you're getting, not really what you really need to be successful. And this business, as we all know, is more and more challenging every day.
Hmm. Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. It's kind of like you got to know the rules to break the rules.
That's exactly right. And people who have been in the business, you know, supposing, Ann, you and I decided, well, me, I've been in the business, but maybe you have too, Ann, I don't know. But, you know, hey, we're going to have Ann's Cafe, and you're going to be in the kitchen, and, well, you've got a great name, and people are going to come and see you, but maybe you don't really know how to make money at this. At the end of the day, it's a business.
Right. That's another thing. Spencer Hoffman up in Lachineau, I mean, that's what you it's nice to open a restaurant up there, but how are you going to staff it? You had to have a business. There's a business model, right?
Oh, yeah, correct. Yeah. As the other guests might know, you know, in the industry too, there's notorious turnover. You know, a lot of places are in need of, you know, staffing. So having the culinary school around helps, you know, gives us, you know, an upper hand there with having staff, giving them the real, you know, our students the real life experience of running a fine dining restaurant.
I would imagine, Steve Zagar, that people don't appreciate what it costs to run a culinary school, too. It's got to be expensive.
Oh, my God. It's very expensive. I mean, setting it up alone, I mean, of course, we're here in New York City, which is probably the pinnacle of cost, but I mean, we have 13 kitchens, we have special events, we have all the things that, all the bells and whistles, we have a beverage facility and such. It costs millions of dollars to set something like this up, and then to run it on a day-to-day basis requires an enormous amount of labor, an enormous backup team of people who do purchasing. It's really a very costly experience to maintain and run a business like this.
You know, a big component of this expanded culinary or hospitality program at Columbus State Community College involves integrating into the community. They're going to have a public, they're a restaurant open to the public. They're going to have a bakery cafe open to the public. Is that something that you do, Steve Zagar, in New York City, or is that something that you are thinking of?
We don't. We actually chose a different route. We, years ago, where some of our comparable cooking schools or culinary schools have had their own restaurants, we chose to take our students and put them at existing restaurants and to give them an opportunity to, we call it an externship. Mm-hmm. And so they can pick or we pick and we have relationships with them. So rather than say that they've worked in our Institute of Culinary Education cafe, which is not a bad thing, but we want them to go out and get a certain number of hours, and most of our culinary students have to take over 200 hours working as an intern in a restaurant, which also helps to build their resumes for the future.
You know, Cameron Mitchell is the lead donor for the new operation at Columbus State Community College, and he knows what was the decision making process in creating an open to the public restaurant.
Well, we wanted our students, you know. I talked about the five majors that we have. A lot of our majors take a core curriculum in which they're all together. So even our restaurant management, our baking and pastry arts, and even our dietetics program, as well as our culinary apprenticeship program, they take a core curriculum together in which they're in the labs together. Mm-hmm. And when we used to run our little restaurant called Christopher's, they're doing that together. And then eventually they branch out. So this idea of having the restaurant was to allow them a place to do it in a more formal way, and waiting on more customers and doing it more than one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's one of the reasons. But our culinary program, we have a new one coming on board, but our old one is an apprenticeship program, like Steve mentioned. And our students work full time at a site, for 4,000 hours over their 2 years. As well as finishing up their degree. So we're kind of doing a lot of different models. But the whole idea was to get them, all of them, including our tourism people, into our conference space, into a concierge mode, so that they could learn everything by putting all these pieces together.
How much interest from other restaurants, you know, the people who are managing restaurants and looking for help, how much interest have you noticed from them on this?
We've always noticed a tremendous amount. I mean, they're constantly emailing us, calling us. We're out in there talking with them. This past weekend with ASAE in town, and Flavored Nation next weekend, they're looking for people to work just like when Muirfield's in town, but they're also looking for full-time people. So we're constantly being asked, to see what we can do to help staff those places. We have good partnerships everywhere.
Spencer Hoffman, up there in the Upper Peninsula, what sort of opportunities are there for people once they leave Les Chenaux Culinary School?
Yes, and yeah, there's Northern Michigan, too, gets a big draw in the summer, so there's always a lot of restaurants that are in demand in the summertime. We've had certain students. Last year, we had a student that actually went to New York City at a Michelin star restaurant there, and we've had a student go out to Washington, D.C., so really, once they get the degree, you know, they could, if they wanted to go anywhere in the country, in the world, they could have the ability to do so.
Mm-hmm. Was it easy to break into the business of teaching and getting noticed by the fancy restaurants of the world?
Oh yeah, well, it's been a bit of a uphill battle. We started out, we're smaller. Like I said, we've averaged between 8 to 10 students. being where we're at, we've relied a lot on donors and the like. So it has its challenges, you know, getting word of mouth, getting our name out there. But with this partnership with Lake State, that'll help us increase our, you know, marketing or recruiting.
Right. If you have a question or comment for our guests, we're talking about culinary schools. As our guest, Steve Zagor, a lead instructor of restaurant and culinary management at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York, says, in some cases, the business of culinary schools is shrinking, but on a regional level, it seems to be growing, as is evidenced by the new 80,000 square foot school at for hospitality programs at Columbus State Community College, and you know, the growth in a place like Les Chenaux up in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, where they have a small school. What do you think about a place like Les Chenaux, Steve Zagor, when you think about this universe of culinary schools? What does it make you think about?
I think it kind of goes to where the trends are going now. Everything is becoming kind of local and regional, and people are looking for something. Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. People are looking for something that they can relate to, and if it's something that is local and the food is local and the people are local, it brings kind of everyone together in a communal effort to make something work. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity to learn just the basics from there.
Right. And does it change when you talk about this trend toward more regionalism? Does it change how you approach what you do at the Institute of Culinary Education?
We do. In fact, we have what's called a PAC board, which is a board composed of local chefs, restaurateurs, everybody that's in the industry. And we meet four times a year, and they basically tell us, make sure that we are having the kinds of cuisine that are relevant, that are current, types of techniques that are relevant and current, because we need to be part of what's going on in the industry, not to mention the fact that being in New York City, we have so many people that come into the city, and we bring them here to talk, and we bring them here to interact with our students, and they contribute recipes to our curriculum. And so, yeah, we're very, very much interactive and try to be very local as much as we can, because a lot of our graduates don't want to stay in New York. They want to go to Michigan. They want to go to Ohio. They want to go to Cleveland. They want to go to California. So we got to equip them for everything.
Hmm. Are you noticing the same thing, James Taylor?
Oh, yes. And then, you know, part of all this, and Steve mentioned the communal part, and I've mentioned it as well, but, you know, and we sometimes get asked too often, but I'm sure they are too, but we're very involved with fundraisers for various community organizations to help them along. And it gives our students an opportunity to pay forward, which we strongly believe in. Hmm. And we have a strong service learning component into that, which, again, makes it communal.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. I want to say goodbye to Spencer Hoffman right now. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
Yep, Spencer Hoffman. He's graduate instructor at the Les Chenaux Culinary School in Hessel, Michigan. That's in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, facing Lake Huron. It opened 5 years ago, and has recently this summer announced a new collaboration with Lake Superior State University. We'll continue our conversation, so stay with us. If you are interested in the culinary arts and in culinary school, if you've attended a culinary school and have some thoughts about how it worked for you, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about culinary careers inspired by the recent opening of the 80,000-square-foot Mitchell Hall Culinary School at Columbus State Community College. Still with us is Department Chair for Hospitality Programs at Columbus State. He's also a member of the Board of the American Culinary Federation, Columbus Chapter, Chef James Taylor. Also, Lead Instructor of Restaurant and Culinary Management at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York, Steve Zagor. What is the atmosphere, Steve Zagor, in a culinary school these days? We talked about it earlier that it looks tough when you watch the movies, but how do you create an atmosphere that's educational in something that's so emotional in a way as food?
I think it's a really good word, emotional. And I think because food is generally, you just said it, a really emotional part of our lives. It's who we are as animals, and that it's something that we think about, but we really feel more than we think. And when you, if you walk down our halls here, I mean, you're seeing students who, for the most part, are living their dreams, and they are sacrificing to be here. They're sacrificing. They're away from their families. They're spending a lot of time. And our classrooms aren't the kind of old-fashioned, traditional, everyone screaming and yelling and authoritarian, because that's just not the way kitchens are going nowadays. So it's much more collaborative. I mean, granted, there's a culinary curriculum that needs to be accomplished. There's skills that need to be learned. There's knowledge that need to be conveyed. But at the end of the day, when they leave here, they have knowledge, they know the techniques, and I think the biggest gift we give them is confidence. Because when they leave here, they will know as much as most people that are in the food business, and that's really, really big. And while they're here, they kind of become a part of that whole movement and that part of that emotion.
I still think that the whole process of putting a plate out to the public is an incredible mystery to me. And I love to cook, but the way kitchens work, I suppose the most I've learned from anything is watching Top Chef, right? And how they do it. And those are kind of like, you know, train wrecks sometimes, but it's taught me a lot. How much of the curriculum, it's not just all cooking, right, James Taylor?
No, it's plate presentation and how that works and what goes together and what doesn't go together. But then there's also that realm of let's try something different that perhaps has never been put together again. There's a lot of, I tell students all the time, because you've got not only the texture of the food and the smell and the color and the obviously the taste and the aromas. But as I tell students, it's not a surprise that coleslaw goes together with a perch basket, like you mentioned earlier. If you know, because you need those textures and the coolness to go together. So sometimes that's a little, in the beginning with some people who just never thought about it, it's a little hard to get them to understand that. But Steve said a very interesting thing, and he talks about that confidence. As I tell students, I may know a lot more than you do, and I may not, but in certain areas. But the difference is I've been doing it, so I'm a little more confident. What you have to do is to get that confidence. And sometimes it happens to you when you least expect it. It just clicks and it's there. You know, you're not checking off a list necessarily to be able to arrive at that, but you'll know.
You know, I finally got a cookbook for my cottage up north because I realized, you know, sometimes I need help with the chemistry. I've got ideas and I don't really need the cookbook to come up with ideas, but I do need to know about the chemistry and make sure I get the ingredient amounts correct on certain things. And how much, Steve Zagor, is it chemistry oriented? Is it where you have to learn about how things interact and why they interact and how that affects the cooking?
I think definitely in pastry, because pastry is chemistry.
Yeah.
If you don't do it exactly right, you're going to end up with something that's a flop.
And that's why, I'm sorry, Steve, that's why there are formulas, not recipes. We call
right.
them formulas.
Formulas,
yeah.
Right.
Exactly. In savory, it's really, there is certainly the technique and understanding this is what you need to do in order to saute, or this is what you need to do in order to just lightly boil something.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's there's a lot more leeway in the savory world than there is in the pastry world.
Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hey. Glad to talk to you guys. You know, I started cooking. I actually lied about my age when I was 13 and a half and got a job as a dishwasher/baking assistant, and then they quickly found out that I was much more talented than that. My younger brother, well, by the time I was 19, I was kitchen manager and corporate trainer. And we were just, both my brother and I were told by head chefs, hey, keep your eyes and your ears open and your mouth shut, and you will learn everything you will need to know. You know, so going to a culinary school seems like kind of a lark.
Right? Well, yeah, except I just think about how you, it's also a business of running a restaurant, and how do you order the right amount of food, and how do you do all that stuff?
Yep. I mean, I have a class that I teach here, and we talk about actually what a commercial recipe is, and we talk about what, and Mark, I believe, you know, we talk about what yield is and how to understand when you cost a recipe. And let me just give you a two-second quick example.
Sure.
Supposing you have a banana, and a banana is 50 cents a pound. Well, how much of that banana do you eat? You're eating basically half of it because you're throwing the peel away. So really that banana, if you cost that into a recipe at 50 cents a pound, you're really wrong because it's costing you $1 a pound. And you need to understand how commercial businesses work. And that's why restaurants have such high failure rates, is because people think, yeah, I'm going to go in the kitchen, I'm going to cook this, and it's going to be great. And I've talked to chefs, and they'll go, I said, chef, how much should we charge this? And chef will go, $21.95. And I'll say, why? He says, because I feel it. And it's just not that way. It's a complicated business that's getting more complicated with the $15 minimum wage and the advent of robotics and such. So those days are limited.
And you know, we have classes like that too, purchasing and so on and so forth, and the math behind it. But the banana is a great example. There's purge. How much you're going to weigh? How much after you cook it is left? You know. Some things, you know, it's higher than what Steve just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And there's also talent and technique. It may be easy for you to buy it already. The steak's already cut because of the labor situation, you know.
Right.
Every time the butcher adds a knife, it's going to go up per pound. But that per pound cost might be better for you than having the additional trained labor.
Hmm.
Possibly.
Mark, thanks for that call. Anybody else? And congratulations. I mean, a lot of people do learn the way Mark does. Shut up, keep your eyes open, your ears open, and just...
And that's how I started, Mark.
Yeah.
So kudos to
you. That's how a lot of people get involved in it. I'm wondering about how mobile you can be, though, with that, depending on where you're coming from, I suppose.
Yeah, I would say that's true. Some people are good salespeople. They have so much confidence, and the people that are hiring them see it, and they're willing to give them a chance. And if they do a good job, then they're fine. But getting that door open and keeping it open isn't always easy, unless you really have the education behind you, possibly.
Exactly.
I imagine, Steve Zagor, you have a lot of people from time to time, maybe not a lot, but people who come in and think they already know it. They're just getting the certificate, right?
We actually have, you know, pretty experienced restaurant owners come here, which is always surprising, and say, you know what, I kind of grew up in the industry in my family business, which everybody has family restaurants that they love to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, you know, now I really need to know the way to do it. I really need to know what I've missed in the professional way of doing it. So it's kind of interesting when I can look in someone's eyes who's actually been experienced, and I see the lights go on, and I think to myself, we've done something really special for this person.
Can you customize, or are there different kinds of programs for different kinds of students?
Not so much. We have the core. We have four programs here. We have a culinary program. We have a pastry program. We have a natural gourmet program, which leads towards the nutrition program. And then we have a management program. And then we have a large number, we call them electives, which are recreational courses that are open to the public, which are taught by area well-known chefs. And all of our students have access to a huge number of those as a part of the curriculum here. So even though we may not spend a huge amount of time making sushi, we have recreational classes, so a student could excel at that by taking more classes. Or if the student wants to take more wine tasting, we can do more wine tasting and such. So there's a whole basket full of additional classes that we have.
And we will be doing the same. We have a brand new website up called Mix that's going to speak to all those different things, those types of classes for the community. But they're going to be taught by not only our existing faculty, but by experts in the industry, or people who really know how to do. So we want to, they're going to come in that people that really know what they're doing with sushi, you know, or to use as example. So, and our students will have the same access. And so that's as important because sometimes students just want to learn one particular thing that they may not be getting completely in a course.
Exactly.
What does the title chef mean, Chef James Taylor?
Well, technically, it means boss, okay? Believe it or not. You know, it's interesting. The World Association of Chef Societies, for its existence until about 15 years ago, used to be called the World Association of Cook Societies. Mm. And when they have their Olympics every 4 years, which is coming up this autumn in Stuttgart, it's going to be chefs, but it's cook. It's the German word for cook because to them that's an important word and it's to be treasured. And so really, it's really, you're a cook. Okay. But when you start hearing the word chef or executive chef or sous chef, they all do have specific meanings. Executive chef is a little bit higher. There's in this country, we have master chef. But the chef term does get bantered around a lot. It just means things to different people. Not everybody is a chef.
Well, like Spencer Hoffman wasn't a chef. He's a graduate instructor at Lachino Culinary School.
However, and I'm sure this is the case of Steve's instructors, where all the chefs that we have at Columbus State are chefs that they've all had industry experience and they're all certified. We're also all graduates from programs.
Okay.
You know, so,
okay.
But
and it's kind of a term of accomplishment too.
Yes.
It's almost like calling someone an admiral or a better a colonel. You know, Colonel Sanders was a colonel, but not really.
Yeah.
You know? Well, there's he may have been more of a chef than a colonel.
I think you're right.
Well, he had the secret recipe.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
11 herbs and spices.
We've been talking, Steve Zagor, about how things have changed in Columbus over the last 30 years. And a lot of it has to do with the benefactor of this new culinary outfit at Columbus State, Cameron Mitchell. I mean, he was sort of a one-man show there for a while, it felt like, and now he wants more people to succeed, and he thinks there's room for more. What do you think?
Absolutely. First of all, it's wonderful that Columbus has a benefactor like that sees
Absolutely.
The opportunity and really wants to, whatever his motivation is, to upgrade or to influence the cuisine for so many people. And I hope the program reaches into all areas of the Columbus market because, you know, it's great because whatever happens, there is such a shortage of people in our industry and shortage of people who have expertise in our industry. And so, and quite honestly, Ann, a lot of the millennials don't want to go in the restaurant business. You know, it's not, you know, working in a kitchen. Oh, I don't want to do that. And so if you can show it on a professional basis by going through a wonderful institution like that and then going into the restaurant business, it's win-win for everybody.
I'm surprised the millennials have that kind of attitude about the culinary arts. Are you finding that to a certain extent, James Taylor?
A little bit. I think Steve's got a point, though. We sometimes all schools get people in it, and after a semester or so, they get disenchanted, or they're not.
There's
a drop off. They're not quite sure that's what they wanted. And then we've also had people graduate and say, "What's my degree doing?" You know. So.
Yep.
And of course, by the way, if
we turn them off, we've done a good job there too.
Yeah, because
you've weeded them out.
And we also save them time, money, and effort.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what I tell people. You know, the industry is a great industry, but it's not for everybody.
Right.
And we try our best to make sure that they really want to do this. We don't twist their arm to come. We want them, of course, like all schools want students. But so there's some of that. They realize that, you know, I don't think I want to be up to my ankles in grease five nights a week and then, you know, miss all the fun on the weekends, et cetera.
What about programs like Top Chef? I mentioned it earlier. It's not what got me interested in cooking, but it certainly edified me on some level about what goes on.
In my opinion, I shouldn't have said it that way.
That's okay.
But the cooking shows in general have been a blessing for this country and for us in the industry, but it's also done the opposite.
A curse.
A curse, because it's encouraged people to think they're going to be the next NBR or NFL star, and they possibly might not be. On the other hand, it's brought to light a lot of things. It's made the public a lot smarter and more educated on what they want to see and what they're expecting.
They appreciate your efforts.
They appreciate it. So that's helped us a great deal. We've turned into rock stars. Certainly Alton Brown has done a great job with all the science he puts behind it.
And what do you think, Steve?
I know, I kind of joke. I want to be the one that actually makes chef tattoos. I think I could make more money there than cooking.
No kidding. That's a thing, isn't it?
I joke, you know, oh my God, there's a bigger business there. But no, I agree too. I mean, we to some degree, we sort of deified chefs in many ways and turned them into rock stars, which is great, because we took a position that was kind of thought of as a kind of a lower ranking position years and years and years ago and turned it into something that is almost a celebrity status. But it also sanitizes it a little bit, because, you know, and I'm sure you know, James, you know, when you're in a kitchen every single day, and a kitchen is really a manufacturing business. That's exactly what it is. And the chef is in charge of manufacturing.
Yeah.
And the glamour wears off pretty quickly. And you're buying resources, you're putting them into this manufacturing facility, and you're distributing them to guests through whether you're fast casual, across the counter, through waiters and waitresses. And it's not quite so glamorous. So the TV show's kind of, like any TV show, makes it a little more glamorous than it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, particularly when you have famous people coming on and that sort of a thing. Journalism's a lot the same way. Apparently lawmaking is, too. You don't want to
exactly.
You don't want to watch them making the sausage, right?
Exactly. I mean, Ann, do you get up every morning thinking, just pinching yourself, how wonderful this is?
It's a manufacturing process. There absolutely is a process to it. And that's what you're trying to teach at Columbus State now.
Right. And one of the most important elements is of this whole industry, and I know Steve's going to agree, and we have talked about it simply because we're talking about culinary, okay, is the service end of it. If we don't have service, we can make little mistakes in the kitchen and we can put up a plate that's not so good, but the service is great, then people aren't going to say much.
The front of the house, right.
And so that's where one of the things that I've done all my life, and I'm sure I can just tell by the way Steve talks, he has too, although I shouldn't speak for you, Steve, is that we've tried to bring the kitchen and the dining room and all that together, because it's important for all of us.
Yep.
Well, thanks to both of you so much. Chef James Taylor, Department Chair for Hospitality Programs at Columbus State Community College, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And Steve Zagor, Lead Instructor of Restaurant and Culinary Management at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York, thanks to you as well. I really appreciate your insights today.
Thanks, Ann. Great meeting you and great talking to both of you.
Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Mary Lee Williams, assistant producer Kyle McKinnon, All Sides interns Bridget Sarpong, Deborah Eshen, Joe Motz, and Katie Hamilton, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.